Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I'm Brother Horace Stroud, and we're thankful for those that made the decision to be with us on this afternoon to participate in our conference called Worship Service. I want to thank all the brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service. I want to thank those, again, you that have participated. We know that the Bible teaches when those assemble from Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, the Bible says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Those are four of the acts of worship where we teach from the Bible. We fellowship or to give back that which God has blessed us with, a portion of that. We also take the Lord's Supper. Those that have that to do, that have not, and then also in prayer. And then the Bible says in verse number 47, the fifth act, where the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as to be saved. So those are the five acts of worship that one must participate in worshiping the God according to the Bible. On this afternoon, want to speak. I spoke this morning, those that were with us on this morning, we spoke from, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 7, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to his son in the gospel, Timothy, and 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verity means truth. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verity, again, meaning truth. And so from that, we want to look at that situation with Paul, that event, as he was ordained a preacher, and how that transpired. And so from Acts chapter number 26, thank Brother Tim for reading those scriptures in our ears on this afternoon. From Acts chapter 26, we want to draw from that verse 18 where Paul said there, Jesus said to Paul, to open their eyes. To open their eyes. I want to talk on this afternoon how that was a part of the mission of the Apostle Paul, but also it is a part of our mission today. And so we want to look at that and draw some points from that. And the afternoon will be yours. I want to set this up because in Acts chapter number 26, before we get to verse 15, in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 1, Acts 26, verse number 1, the Bible says, then Agrippa, who was the king at the time, said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. So Paul was given opportunity to speak for himself. He had been accused of the Jews. He said that in verse number 2. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. So Paul had been accused of things by the Jews. And so King Agrippa gave him an opportunity to speak for himself. So we want to pick up in verse number 12 where Paul said, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. So Paul was on his way to Damascus, and he had gotten authority from the chief priest. But while he was on his way, the Bible says in verse number 13 of Acts 26, the Bible says midday, O king, he's telling Agrippa, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. So Paul said about at midday, he said, I saw a light that came from heaven. And this light was above the sun, and it shined around me and all those that were with me. And then the Bible says in verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, Paul said, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. And again, whenever we see the word tongue, that means language. Yeah, that means language. So this person spoke to Paul in the Hebrew language. And at the time, Paul was referred to as Saul. And so that voice that he heard said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? For it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And so what that voice told Paul, and what we want to understand, is that Paul was not persecuting Jesus, but Paul was persecuting other Christians. And so Paul asked the question in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. And I want to say to all those that are Christians, those that have obeyed the Lord according to the Bible, and you are a Christian, understand this. When someone persecutes you, they're also persecuting Christ, because Christ says, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. Paul wasn't actually persecuting Christ, but he was persecuting the saints. Notice in verse number 10, when Paul reminding Agrippa the situation at the time, he said, verse number 9 in Acts 26, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Paul persecuted those people that were Christians. But we want to remember, for us today, here in December 4th, 2022, when somebody, anybody, persecutes a Christian, Jesus takes it personally, and Jesus, according to the Bible, Jesus is watching what goes on in the lives of a Christian. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 12, Peter reminded those Christians, he said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. So when you are a Christian, a child of God, Peter reminded those that may have been suffering at the time that the eyes of the Lord are watching you and his ears are open unto your prayers. You are a Christian. Only Christians have that avenue to speak to the Lord. Yeah, we need to know that. There may be those that would think that the Lord hears us. Well, the Bible does not teach that. In John chapter 9 and the verses number 31, while I'm walking through this area, the blind man made a statement in John 9 and verse 31. He said this, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." And that sinner was an alien sinner, someone who was a sinner that did not have a relationship with God. He said, "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." So you have to have a relationship with God. You don't have a relationship with God simply because you are born. You have a relationship when you are a child of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 while I'm walking across this area so I can make clear this point. So the blind man said, "Now we know that God here is not sinners." But I'm not just talking about a sinner. I'm talking about what the Bible calls an alien sinner, one that does not have a relationship with God. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2, and the verse is number 11, because Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, reminded them of their condition. And I want to remind you, if you're on the call this afternoon and you have not obeyed the Lord, and I'll share with you what one must do to obey the Lord and how one become a Christian, you need to remember what I'm about to read now in verse 11 and verse 12 of Acts chapter 2. I mean Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. Paul said to them, he said, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand." Well, Paul was saying, I want you to remember that in the time past, you were a Gentile in the flesh. You were uncircumcised. He said, because the Jews had been circumcised when they were born. Yeah. And he said that at that time, verse 12, at that time, ye were without Christ. At that time, before they obeyed the Lord, they were without Christ. So when you are a person and you haven't obeyed the Lord, you need to know that you are without Christ, being aliens. And that's why I say the word alien. You are an alien sinner. What's an alien sinner, Brother Stroud? The text tells us you are alien, meaning foreign or separated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. God made a promise with those that were Israelites, and he said, "You are strangers from that covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." When you don't have Christ and you're not in a child of God, you have no hope of going to heaven, and you are without God in the world. Yeah. So the Bible says, back in Acts chapter 26, when you persecute a Christian, you're persecuting the Christ. That's why it's so important that we try to teach our loved ones, our family members, to become a child of God, because until they become a child of God, they have no hope of going to heaven, and they don't have God in their world. And even though they pray, according to John 9:31, God heareth not sinners. And that's an alien sinner, one that does not have a relationship with God. So back in Acts 26, Jesus told Paul, or Saul at the time, He said, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. So Jesus told Paul, I appeared unto you for this reason. I'm going to make you a minister or a servant. And also, I want you to be a witness. I want you to testify of what you have seen and also what I'm going to appear unto thee. Jesus told him that. Not only that, an encouragement for us. Jesus told Paul. He said, delivering thee, verse 17, from the people and from the Gentiles of whom now I will send thee. We have to understand that no matter what our situation may be, the same God that was there for Paul is the same God that can be in our lives today. God can deliver us. The word deliver here means to save from harm and danger, or it means Jesus told Paul, I'm going to rescue you from the people and from the Gentiles. Then I'm going to send you to them. So we have to understand that God can rescue us from any one of our situations. No matter what the situation may be, God can rescue us from our situation. And then he told him in verse number 18, which is the mission of every individual. It's also the mission of the Church of Christ. It is my mission as a preacher of the gospel. Note what Jesus told Saul, or Paul at the time. He said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, me being Jesus Christ. So let's look at this verse as I close. One verse. Jesus told Paul, what I need you to do is to open their eyes. And their eyes, this is in a spiritual sense. I want people to see Jesus through the Bible. He said, now also, I want you to turn them from darkness to light. Yeah, see, all of us were in darkness, and once we become a Christian, we are turned to light. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, because Paul in his letter to the Colossians reminded them what God had done when they obeyed the Lord. Yeah. He said in verse 12. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, God the Father, who has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Notice now, in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The word kingdom is another word for church, and his dear Son is Christ. So that's like saying that has translated us into the Church of Christ. And whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So one has to come in contact with the blood of Christ in water baptism to receive forgiveness of sin. There is no other way one can have their sin initially forgiven other than to be come in contact with the blood of Christ in water baptism. I'll share that with you before I close. So Paul said then, our mission is to help those people that are in darkness and try to turn them to the light of the gospel and from the power of Satan unto God. Right now, if a person is just out there living in the world, they're under the power of Satan. They've been influenced by Satan. What we want them to be is to come under the power of God and be influenced by the word of God. And the reason we do it, he said that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, there's a way one receives the forgiveness of sins, and that's in baptism. And once they receive the forgiveness of sins, now they have an inheritance. And Jesus said, among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ. So those people that have been separated by faith, by doing those things that are written in the Bible. Yeah, Paul said that Romans, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So you can't have faith unless you hear it. Yeah, faith coming by hearing the word of God. Someone has to tell you from the Bible about Jesus Christ. None of us have seen Christ, but we believe it because it's written in the scriptures, the word of God. And so that's our responsibility. And John, turn there, John chapter 20. Let me let you read that. John chapter 20, and the verse is number 30. John said this to those before he closed the Gospel of John. And John chapter 20 and verse number 30, because Thomas had doubted. Jesus told him in verse 29 of John chapter John 20 and 29, after Thomas felt his the nails that he had the print from the nails in his hand and in his side. Verse 27. Let me go there. Let me take my time and go there. The Bible says, then said he, being Jesus to Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. You saw the nails that they put in my hand. I want you to behold my hand. He said, now, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side when they pierced my side. He said, and be not faithless, but believe it. And Thomas answered and said unto him, he said, my Lord and my God. Because Thomas saw Jesus on the cross. He knew he had nails in his hands, and he knew that the soldier pierced him in his side. And Jesus said unto him, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And notice what Jesus told him. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. How can we believe and not see? Stay with the scriptures. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Note what John wrote. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So we believe was written in the Bible. Jesus told Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me and you saw where they put the nails in my hand and it pierced me inside, you believe. He said, but now, blessed are they that haven't seen me and we believe. But how do we believe? We believe based on those things that are written in the Bible. You have to believe what's in the Bible. And so that's our responsibility. When the Bible says to open their eyes, back in Acts 26 and verse number 18, what Paul was saying of what Jesus was telling Paul, to open their eyes simply means to give knowledge and understanding about the gospel of Christ. We want to share with those people and give them understanding about the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Christ is a three-fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So people need to see their lost condition. People that we come in contact with need to know, and unless they obey God, they are without hope and have no God in this world. And so teaching allows people to know how to, as Jesus told Paul, to turn from darkness to light. It also allows them, teaching allows people to turn from the power of Satan unto God, and teaching people, teach them how they might receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among the saints. How is that possible? We have a case study as I close in Acts chapter 8 concerning the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading the scriptures. He didn't understand what he was reading. In Acts chapter 8, Philip asked him a question in verse number 30. And Philip ran down to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Acts 8:30, understandest thou what thou readest? And his response, he was honest in his response. In verse 31, he said, how can I, except some man guide me or show me the way? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. See, you have to have a heart that you got to want someone to teach you what's right. And then in verse number 35, the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He told him that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he told him also that in order to have forgiveness of your sin, you got to be baptized. How do we know that? Because in verse 36, the Bible says, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch, not the preacher, but the student, the eunuch says, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? He knew he had heard the gospel. He believed the gospel. He repented of his sins. He wanted to be baptized. He said, that's on water. I understand by faith the blood of Christ is in the water, and I have to be baptized. And Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, what everyone must say before they are baptized, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible said when he made that statement, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So he added him to the Lord's church by being water baptized. I said before, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Those that are saved are in the church. One does that when they obey the will of God. And they conclude that obedience in water baptism. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, you're not a member of the Lord's church, I've just shared with you what you must do. What I encourage you to do, get with the person that invited you on the call, have them get in contact with us. We'll make it happen. You're not a Christian. You're not a child of God until you're water baptized. You've heard the gospel until you believe the gospel, repent of your sins, and then you confess Christ to be the Son of God, then you are water baptized for the forgiveness of all your sins, and the Lord will add you to the church. If you're a person that's subject to respond, we ask you to reach back out to us from this conference call that we can have you added to the Lord's church. I thank you very much for your attention on this afternoon. Thank you very much.